At the end of the Haggadah and the Echa Miyodea, so we go through the list of the numbers from 1 to 13 and ascribe to them religious significance. The number 9, when we get to Tisha Miyodea, so it's Tisha Yachele that corresponds to the 9 months of pregnancy. However, the Mefarshim asked that all the other numbers are ascribed to religious significance. This 9 months of pregnancy doesn't seem to have any religious significance. It applies to all of humanity. Why then is it mentioned at the end of the Seder? In fact, the word Heroyon, pregnancy, is with Gematria 271. So the Mefarshim explain, Sefer Chaim Shel Torah, that the reason why is because the due date of a typical pregnancy is on day 271. There's typically 9 months of pregnancy, each consisting of arbitrary 30 days, and therefore it's 270 days of pregnancy. The due date is usually day 271. But why then did we mention, if this applies by all human pregnancy, why do we mention at the end of the Leil HaSeder? So one explanation is because the Pasuk tells us in Parashat Shmos that Amram and Yocheved were able to hide Moshe Rabbeinu v'atitzpineu shloishoy yirachim. They were able to hide him for 3 months from the Egyptians, and then at the end of 3 months, lo yuchol oid hatzpinoi. They were no longer able to hide him. So Rashi explains, because Moshe Rabbeinu was born early. He was supposed to have been born at 9 months, like everybody else, and the Mitzrayim were counting how many days Amram had been home, been returned to his wife. But in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu was born in the 6th month. He was born early, 3 months early, and therefore, v'atitzpineu shloishoy yirachim. And that's why we mention at the end of the Leil HaSeder that even though Tisha Yacheleda, that's typically 9 months, but part of our Hatzalah from Mitzrayim came about because Moshe Rabbeinu was born early. Not only was Moshe Rabbeinu a premature baby, but also, and that would have precipitated Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it could be all of Klal Yisrael is considered to have been a premature birth. Why? Because throughout the Haggadah, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is never mentioned, which is noted by many Mefarshim. Moshe Rabbeinu, who orchestrated much of, on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, executed much of what led up to Yetzias Mitzrayim. How could it be? His name is not mentioned. Not one shout-out throughout the entire Haggadah. How could it be? So the Gro explains, classical answer is because the Haggadah is here to stress, Lo Yedei Malach, Lo Yedei Saraf, the Shaliach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydo v'atzmo, is the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. However, that itself requires some measure of explanation. Why couldn't, the greatest managers are the ones who know how to delegate? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu typically delegates responsibility to other entities in order to bring about his ratzon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu informed Sarah she would become pregnant through a Shaliach. He destroyed Sodom through a Malach. So why couldn't Yetzias Mitzrayim be on that same list of items? Because Baruch Hu delegates to others. That's the greatest skill that a manager has, is knowing how to delegate responsibility. So the question then becomes, why did Yetzias Mitzrayim have to be Davka Yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Maral explains, it's quoted in the Gevuras Hashem, because the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Tainus and Dafi Beis Maralef that there are 3 things that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does not delegate to others. One is the weather, one is Tchias HaMesim, and childbirth. In fact, the Gra claims that this is alluded to in the Pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh, which describes the stones that were on the top of the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol that are called Pituchei Chaysam, the inscribed stones. But the Gra says Chaysam is Barashe Tevis Chaya, which refers to childbirth, Tuf, which refers to Tchias HaMesim, and Mem, which refers to Matar. And in fact, we find no human being is able to accurately predict the weather. That's Kulo Biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can do our best, but no one accurately and consistently can do that. No one, human being, will ever be able to bring about Tchias HaMesim. Perhaps we can extend life, but no one will be able to ever bring people back to life. And also, Chaya, no one's able to accurately and consistently predict when a child will be born. Those are things that are only in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah?
That's
exactly the 3 keys. So says the Maral that that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu had to take us out of Mitzrayim himself. Why? Because Yetzias Mitzrayim was a lay that was a birth of Klal Yisrael as the nation, as the Pasuk says in Parashat Vayeschanan, Lakachas Lo Goy Mikarav Goy. We were taken like one nation from another. Mitzrayim kind of gave birth to Klal Yisrael as a nation. Rav Pinkus has beautiful svarim in the Mayadim, so he claims that that's why Pesach always has to be in the Chodesh HaOviv, always in the spring. In fact, we'll be Ma'abir the Shana, we'll make a leap year in order to ensure that Pesach always occurs b'chodesh ha'aviv. Why does Pesach have to occur in the spring? So Pincus explains that it's because just like the world becomes dormant throughout the winter and then comes back to life in the spring, everything, all the flowers, the plants are coming back to life. So too, this represents the notion that Klal Yisrael came to life as a nation. We were born. The world is reborn again. Comes back to life every year during the spring. So too, we were born as a nation. The Yom Tov at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Perhaps he continues. That's why Rabbi Yehuda gave the 10 Makas Simonim. Yehuda Hayinoisim Behem Simonim. What did he call them? The Tzach Adash Bachav. It's not so complicated to remember. Well, why do we need Simonim? I mean, there are only 10. Even the little children can memorize it. So the Rishonim explain, and the Haggadah, that is because this represented three stages, that the Makas took place in three stages. It was something that was unique about the first three, that was different about the next three, that was different about the final four. There's many Shittas and Rishonim, what was different about each grouping. But they came in three stages. Why do they have to come in three stages? So again, explains with Pincus that it's because how many trimesters are there to a typical pregnancy? There's three trimesters. The first trimester, second trimester, third trimester, and the symptoms are different, and what occurs is different in each trimester, three trimesters in terms of the development of the child, and so too, there were three trimesters, the Tzach, Adash, Barachav, in terms of our Yetziah from Mitzrayim, because it was also called the Leida. And finally, he says, what happened as we were leaving Mitzrayim at the time of Makas Becharis, V'haysa Tzach, Gedo, Becharis, Mitzrayim, Asher, Kamolo, Nias, V'chamolo, Leisoysev, there was a great cry. What is this great cry that never occurred before and will never occur again? That was the cry, the pains of labor. What is the greatest pain that exists in this world? At least, some say gallstone, other things that are very painful. But the most painful is childbirth. And imagine if you're giving birth not only to one child, but two children, or three children, or 600,000 children. Imagine all at once. So that was why Mitzrayim screamed, Asher Kamogo, Inizu Kamogo. So if the first makah was dam, blood, because that's the beginning of the labor, and it culminated together with Makas Becharis. A beautiful idea. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do it himself, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not delegate childbirth to anybody else. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be the one to take us out of Mitzrayim. But it seems that we were not born at the proper time, because the Pasuk says in Parashas Lech Lecha, at the time of Bris Bein Absarim, how long were we supposed to be in Mitzrayim for? 400 years. The Pasuk says in Parashas Boy, 430 years. In the end of the day, how long were we there for? We were only there for 210, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Es HaKeitz. But that's how long we were there for. Keitz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away 190, and we were there for 210. But how long was their actual servitude for? How long were we persecuted for? So only 86 is the pasuk from the time of the birth of Miriam, after all the descendants of Yaakov had passed away. As long as the Shvatim were alive, then we weren't sent into Avdus. But at the time of the birth of Miriam, the pasuk says, "Vayimaru es chayehem b'avodah kasha." Their life became difficulty with the burden of the labor, and that's why her name was Miriam. Vayimaru es chayehem. So we were only in labor 86 years. 86 is exactly 1/5 of 430 years. So we only had to do 1/5 of what we were supposed to have. We were supposed to have 430 years. All we had to do was, not all we had to do, but it was only 86. We got out 4/5 early. Listen to this fantastic verse. It's unbelievable. It's in the Sefer Teres Chaim, a classical Achronish Sefer on Chulin. He writes that that's why we have four kaises at the Leil HaSeder. Kais is Begamatria. Kais, 86. Chav 20, Samach 60, Vav 6. 86. Why four kaises? Why four kaises? For the 4/5, the 4/86 of years that we didn't have to do after some Mitzrayim, we only did 86. That's exactly 1/5 of 430. We got out 4/5 early. 4/86 we got out early. That's why we have four kaises at the Leil HaSeder. But why did we get out early? Rabbi said, what is the standard explanation of the Rishonim? Why did we get out early? We're supposed to be there longer. So the Rishonim explain, the Machlokes Rishonim, but some Rishonim explain is because their avdus was so intense, was so concentrated, they worked us so hard that in those 86 years, it was ki'ilu, we had all 430 years. And in fact, writes Diane Fisher in his drushes to Ben Yishai, an unbelievable idea, he says, there's a Mishnah says in Masechtas Avos, in the name of Ben Hehei, that Lefum Tzara Agra, according to the amount of difficulty, that is the amount of reward. The more difficulty, the more reward. What is the ratio of reward? How much more reward do you get if something's difficult than if something is not difficult? How much more reward? The fum tsara agra. The more difficult it is, the more reward. How much more reward? So if Dan Fisher writes that it's 1/5. That's why it's Ben Hey. That's his name. Hey. Because why? You get 5 times the amount of reward if it's bitsar than if it's done without tsar. He says, this is a fantastic. Tsar is bigamatria. Tsar is bigamatria 360. Chesed, he says, gematria 72. If you do a mitzvah with chesed, all you do is 72 brownie points. But if you do a bitzar, you get 5 times that to get 360. Okay, so he says, so perhaps that's why Klal Yisrael only had to be there 86 out of the 430 years. Why? Lefum tzara agra, they worked us very difficult, you know, in concentrated, intense fashion. So therefore, we were paying to a greater degree. Lefum tzara agra, that's kilo 86, as if we got out in 430 years. Okay, so enough with the drush. But the ma'isa is, Klal Yisrael also got out. We were delayed from Mitzrayim, and we also seem to have been a premature birth. So all of Yetzias Mitzrayim, perhaps was precipitated by Moshe Rabbeinu, was a premature birth. Perhaps all of Klal Yisrael, which was born in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were considered to be premature babies. And in this week's Parsha, Parshas Tazria, the Torah discusses Yoledes, the status of a woman who gives birth. Therefore, I want to take the opportunity to discuss premature births in general, which is something that is a growing phenomenon and is a very common issue that is asked about, and it touches on many issues that relate to every woman who goes through a pregnancy. Full disclosure is, though, all of my children were preemies, so it's a topic I spent a lot of time on, have strong feelings about it. Anyway, so Yushalmi tells us in Masechtas Yevam, is commenting on the pasuk in Parashat Bereishis, Vayitzar es Hashem Elokim es Adam, Afer min Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam from the ground, Vayitzar with 2 yuds. Why is it mentioned? Pasuk have 2 yuds. There are many different explanations as to why that is so, but the Talmud Yushalmi says in Masechtas Yevam, Yitzira l'shiva v'yitzira l'tisha. In the times of Chazal, it was assumed that there were 2 terms of birth. Either a 7-month pregnancy or a 9-month pregnancy. There was no such thing, though, and that was considered to be a full-term baby and a viable child. However, there was no such concept of an 8-month pregnancy, or certainly a 6-month pregnancy or a 5-month pregnancy. Certainly did not exist. And if a child was born in the 8th month, it was assumed that the child was a nephil and not viable at all. That's why the Gemara says in Masechtas Yevamos over here in Daf Pei Amud Aleph, this is the opinion of the Chachamim, Hatanya ben Shmoina, Harehu ke'evin va'asa l'taltoi. A child who's born in the 8th month is like a stone, and you're not allowed to touch him, which means you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life, because either way, there's no possible way he can continue living. It was assumed he was a Vadai Nefel. Certainly not viable. Rashi explains, "Shano l'ches chadashim ein oisim boi ma'isa l'achziku k'ben kayoma." This is a notebook, as we're going to see. It's relevant for many areas of halacha. It was not considered to be a viable child. And so, let's say he continues living. At what point do we say, "Hey, this child is viable. He continues to be alive"? So the opinion of the Chachamim is, as this is quoted by Rashi over there, "Lo yaminu bar kayoma hu vaday ashiya ben esrim shana." Until he's 20 years old, he cannot be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of this child. That's the opinion of the Chachamim, is quoted in Gemara Masechtas Yevamos. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees, both in Gemara and Masechtas Yevamos, as well as Masechtas Shabbos, Perek Rabbalaz of the Mila. The opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel is, Kol Sheshah Shloshim Yoyim Ba'odam Eino Nefil. Once the child has been alive for 30 days, he is no longer a Nefil, he's Yatz Mechal Nefil, now he's considered to be a Bar Kayama, as he derives from the mitzvah Pidin HaBen and Parshas Kairach, as the Pasuk says, Ufduyo mi ben chaydesh tifdeh. You're supposed to do Pidin HaBen after 30 days. Why? The answer is, it's Exeris HaKasuv. That's why. But Rav Shimon Gamliel derives from this that perhaps it's because before 30 days the child is not a Ben Kayama. He's not considered to be a viable fetus, and that's why the Torah tells us to wait 30 days for Pidin HaBen. That doesn't mean that if you have a full-term baby, which we assume is a Bar Kayama on day one, the first minute that he's born, he's a bar kayama, a viable child, an individual, be machal Shabbos, he would enjoy all the rights and privileges of viable individuals. But at the same time, we've been machal Shabbos, and we'll see all other halachas as well. Doesn't mean you do pinin aben on day one. Doesn't mean if you have a full-term baby, you do pinin aben. It's exeris akatsuf to wait till day 30. But Rav Shimon Gamliel is deriving from the fact that the Torah tells us to wait for pinin aben until day 30. Perhaps that teaches us that once a child is alive for 30 days, he's considered to be Abar Kayama. How do we paskin on this issue? Again, according to the Chachamim, everyone agrees a Ben Ches, not a Bar Kayama. Certainly Ben Vav or Ben Hey, not a Bar Kayama. There were two terms of pregnancy, Ben Zayin and Ben Tes. But let's say he's a Ben Ches, and he stays alive. So how long after, you know, how long does he have to live to change his status from being a Vada Enefel to a Bar Kayama? So the opinion of Shimon Gamliel is 30 days. The opinion of the Chachamim is 20 years. How do we paskin on this issue? So the Rishonim assume when it comes to a Safek Ben Ches, Safek Ben Tes. Let's say you have a child who's born. It's not always easy to tell when conception occurred. Certainly in days before, you know, the chemical pregnancy test is very difficult. We don't know when the child was conceived. So maybe it's an 8-month pregnancy, maybe it's a 9-month pregnancy. It's hard to know. So the Rishonim assume with regards to that issue, he's considered to be a Vaday Nefel. But if he lives 30 days, then at that point, we would pass on Shimon Gamliel, and the child would consider to be a bar kayam, give me machal Shabbos for that child. And that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, that until, if you have a Safek Ben Ches, Safek Ben Tes, we don't know if he's a Ben Ches or Ben Tes, you cannot be machal Shabbos for him, maybe he's a Nefel, but if he lasts for 30 days, he remains alive for 30 days, then at that point, you can be machal Shabbos for the child. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Shabbos, yeah.
What's a 7-month, what's a 9-month? 7-month is after 6 months, starting the 7 months, there's full 7 months.
Let's assume for now full 7 months. We're going to see it's not necessarily the case.
If you're going by Moshe Rabbeinu, then it's not really.
Moshe Rabbeinu was the first day of the 6th month. Mm-hmm. It was 3 months early. So it's first day of the 7th month, yeah.
So that would be 6 months.
Right. Right, but we're going to see that's debatable, yeah.
Did they explain why, if it's 5 months, 6 months, or 8 months?
They just didn't live.
That
was a reality. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Again, Safek Ben Ches, Safek Ben Tes. We're not sure if he's a viable fetus, a viable child. So therefore, he cannot be Mechal Shabbos. But if he remains alive for 30 days, then at that point, he has proved his status as a Bar Kayama, and you can't be Mechal Shabbos for him. The Bir Halacha, Mishnah Brura, disagrees based on Machlekes HaRishonim with regards to fetus. Can you be Mechal Shabbos to preserve a pregnancy? To save the life of a fetus. Of course, the mother's life is not under discussion. Certainly, it could be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of the mother. But if her life is not in danger, just the status of the pregnancy, the life of the fetus. Can you be Mechal Shabbos for a fetus? So that's a machlok between the Ramban and the Bahag in Masechtas Yuma. The Ramban's position is no, you cannot be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a fetus, because how do you know you can be Mechal Shabbos to save a life? The Pasuk says, V'chai behem v'lo sheyomus behem. That implies that the person is now alive. Says the Ramban, the fetus is not an independent life. At least with regards to this issue, the much broader issue, of course, but with regards to this issue, it's not an independent life, and therefore you cannot be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of the fetus. The Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolus, disagrees, and he holds you can be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a fetus, because there's another reason where Mechal Shabbos to save a life. One reason the Gemara brings Masech Tzuma Daf Pehei is because of Achai Behem or Shiyamas Behem. The other reason is based on the posting of Parshas Kisis of Hashamu V'dei Yisrael as a Shabbos. Last is as a Shabbos. Klal Yisrael should keep Shabbos to keep Shabbos. That sounds circular reasoning. V'shamu V'dei Yisrael Shabbos. Last is as a Shabbos. So Gemara explains what it means is keep Shabbos in a way that this Shabbos you'll be around, you'll be alive next Shabbos. Chalel of Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishma Shabbos is Harbin. Be Mechal of Shabbos for Bikuach Nefesh this Shabbos to make sure that you'll be alive for future Shabbos. So too says the Bahag, even an Ubar who's not perhaps an independent life this Shabbos, but if you're not going to be Mechal Shabbos now, he won't have the possibility of any future Shabbos. So then be Mechal Shabbos now, Chalel of Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishma Shabbos is Harbin, so he'll be alive in the future for future Shabbos. And the Be'er Halacha claims that we passing like the Bahag. They can be Mechal Shabbos for an Ubar. So if you be Mechal Shabbos for an Ubar, says the Be'er Halacha, so then certainly a Safek Ben Ches, Safek Ben Tes, we don't know when this child is going to be born. Maybe it'll be an 8-month baby, maybe a 9-month baby. Since we don't know, nonetheless, you can still be Mechal Shabbos. If you can be Mechal Shabbos for an Ubar, who you don't know when he's going to be born, why should you not be able to be Mechal Shabbos for a Safek Ben Ches, Safek Ben Tes? I don't know if it's a full-term pregnancy. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And no worse than the Ubar. So be Mechal Shabbos for the Safek Ben Ches, Safek Ben Tes. So that's how we paskin Lamaisa, that for an Uber it can be Mechal Shabbos, or even if it's a Safek, a full-term pregnancy, not full-term pregnancy, if it's a Safek as of a viable fetus, you could also, a viable child, you could also be Mechal Shabbos of course, to save the life of the child. But what if you have a vaday ben ches? We know this child is not a full-term baby. There's no suffix here. Or vaday ben vav, which Gemara didn't even discuss. We know that he's a vaday nefel. So how do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rishon Gamliel that once he stays alive for 30 days, he's yatzei mechlal nefel, now he becomes a bar kayama, and he enjoys all the halachas of a bar kayama? Or no, it takes until the child is 20 years old. So that is, in fact, the machlekes harishonim. Taisus and Masech, there's Yuma over there, and daf pei amid aleph, I didn't give it to you, it's too long. Taisus paskins, like the chachamim, that the child is not a bar kayama till he's 20 years old. And the Ramban disagrees. He says, how could it be? He says, 18 years old, he's gibor, oisim ochama, he's going to battle, to war, and he's not a bar kayama yet. We can't be Michal Shabbos to save his life because we're cheshish, he's still a nefil. He's a strapping, 18-year-old. How could it be that we're not Michal Shabbos? It says the Ramban, must be we pass a Shimon Gamliel, that once a child is 30 days old, he's yatzim Michal nefil. And in fact, this is a machlekes ha-poiskim in the Pisrei Tshuva in Eben Ezer, in Hilchas Yibum v'Chalitza, because it's relevant for Yibum and Chalitza. If a husband dies, and he leaves his wife without any children, as we know, she requires Yibum and Chalitza. What if they had a child, and the child passes away? There's no Yibum and Chalitza. They have a child, certainly if the child is alive, and even if they had a child, but it was a viable child who passed away, even after one day, a full-term pregnancy, the child passes away, no Yibum and Chalitza, because they had a child. What if they have a Ben Ches, premature baby, certainly not full term, who stayed alive for 30 days. He's not 20 years old. Stayed alive for 30 days. And then passes away. So what's the status? Does she need Yibum and Chalitza or not? So the Pesach Shuvah quotes in the Yam Shel Shlomo, who paskin like Tosfos, who paskin like the Chachamim, that yes, she requires Yibum and Chalitza until the child becomes 20 years old. She's not exempt from Yibum and Chalitza. Okay, she's still a Vaday Nefo. And the Beis Meir, that's quoted by the Pisrei Tshuva, says the Yam Shel Shlomo here was Hifriz al Amida. This is too excessive. That once the child is 30 days old, he's already Yatzim Mechlal Nefel. She doesn't require Yibum and Chalitza. This is Machlekes HaPoiskim in the Pisrei Tshuva. And it seems to even be a Machlekes between the Rambam and the Ravid. Look over here, Ois Dalad. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avelos, Uben Shmoina Shemes. Now, if it's a Ben Tes, a full-term pregnancy, even if the child dies after one day, assuming that the child was not a nefel for another reason, like it was a birth defect, which the child couldn't possibly live for any significant period of time. But if the child is a healthy baby, and he's born a nine-month pregnancy, and then Loyalenu passes away after one day, the child is for some extraneous reason, so then there would be full... Halachas of Avelos. The child was a Bar Kayam who passed away. What if he's a Ben Ches who stayed alive for 30 days? Is there Avelos or not? Uben Shmaina Shemes Afilu La'achar Shloshim. Even after 30, so it means days, even after 30, Hareza Nefil Ve'ein Misablan Olem Lo Misaskin Imon. So who did the Rambam pass in like? He passed like Tosfos, like the Chachamim. Now, when does it become, if he's a Vaday Ben Ches, when does it become a Bar Kayama? 20. Must be what he means. So the Ravid pounces, Amar Avram, Zayin HaMachuvar. Shrei HaLachar, Shimon Gamliel. HaLachar, Shimon Gamliel, that when does it become a Bar Kayama? After 30 days. So after 30 days, even if it was a Ben Ches, it would be Avelos. So it sounds like the Rambam passed like the Chachamim, Shimon Gamliel, and the Ravid passed like Shimon Gamliel. The problem is that there's another Rambam. The Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Ratzeach Halacha Vav, where he seems to contradict himself. The Rambam writes, what if you kill? A person murders a one-day-old baby. Nemo. Come on, it's not a person does such a thing. So, is he chai for, is a Ratzeach? So, if it's a full-term pregnancy, even if the baby's alive for one day, the Rambam says, you're a Ratzeach. What if he kills a Nefel? Or Trefa, so then you're not a Ratzeach. You kill a Vadei Nefo, you're not a Ratzeach. What if you kill a Ben Ches after 30 days? So he was a Vadei Nefo, but he stayed alive for 30 days. That should be this Machlaikis again. Machlaikis, so we would have expected, based on what the Rambam told us in Hilchos Avel, that the Rambam should say here, you're not a Ratzeach until the child is 20 years old. That's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam writes, Echad ha'horeg es ha'golo es ha'kotem ben yoimoy. If you kill a baby who's 1 day old, ben zocha ben ha'keva, ha'rei zener ha'golov. You're put to death, or goyle, if you killed b'shoigeg. V'hu shekolo chadashim, that's if it's a full-term pregnancy. Avon noyla l'pokos mitisha chadashim, he gives the child is born less than 9 months, ha'rei u'kenefil. There's no way the child's not viable. Ad sheyisha shloshim yoim, until he stays alive for 30 days. But if he stays alive for 30 days, the implication of the Rambam is you're a reitzach and you're put to death. Who's that like? Seems to be like of Shimon Gamliel. If you stay a ben ches, stays alive for 30 days, it's considered to be viable. So Rambam contradicted what he wrote in Hilchos Avil. So the standard approach in the Achronim, the Mishkan Yaakov, the Bir Hagro, and Hilchos Avelus, is that the Rambam felt that this was an open issue. It's not paskin, oiska paskin, one way or the other. This issue is an open machlekes tanoim, machlekes rishonim at a paskin. And therefore the Rambam felt when it comes to Hilchos Avelus, we generally have a rule called halacha kedivrei hamekel be'ovel. We are generally makel, for whatever reason, we don't have time to get into it now, but we are generally makel, we've discussed it in the past, we are generally makel when it comes to Hilchos Avelus. So we pass in like the most kula de kashita, not because we search for kulas, but because halacha kedivrei hamekel be'ovel, if there's a machlekes, and it's an open issue, not an oiska paskin issue. If it's oiska paskin, oiska paskin. But if it's an open issue, we follow halacha kedivrei hamekel be'ovel. So Rambam felt that this was an open issue, and therefore when it comes to Hilchos Avelus, we go to kula, and if you have a ben ches who stayed alive for 30 days, there's no avelus. That's the kula that should not be avelus until the child becomes, presumably, 20 years old. The problem with that approach, and that's what he says in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, ben ches who stays alive for 30 days, no avelus, like the Rambam. The problem with that approach is that if this would be an open issue, so then what if you kill a baby who's a ben ches after he stayed alive for 30 days? So the Rambam says you're considered a reitzach. Why are you considered a reitzach? If this is an open issue, we also have a halacha called Ein Holchem Ben Afashos Achar Roiv, Safek Pikuach Nefesh Lekula. What about the life of the murderer? The murderer didn't kill a Vaday Bar Kayama. He killed what in the eyes of the Rambam would be a Safek Bar Kayama. How then can we put the murderer to death if this is really an open issue? Machlokes Rishonim Gamliel Chacham, and the Rambam treats it as a Safek. So in Hilchos Avelus, he goes Lekula. He should have gone Lekula in Hilchos Reitzach too, and not put the murderer to death. Yet the Rambam says the murderer is a murderer and he's chayiv misas beizdin. Sounds like it's not an open issue. Sounds like it's the Rambam passes like Shimon Gamliel that after 30 days is a bar kayama. So because of that, the Chazon Ish felt that we passing completely like Shimon Gamliel. The Rambam passes like Shimon Gamliel and he rereads the Rambam in Hilchos Avil. He says there's a mistake here. He says a mistake in the girsa. If you look at Halacha Dalid, over here, Ois Dawah, the Rambam Perek Ches, Hilchos Avil, Halacha Aleph. Actually, I think it's Perek Aleph, Halacha Ches. But the Rambam writes, Uben Shemayna Shemes, Afilu La'achar Shloishim. So the Rambam does not say Yoim. It's actually two Gersos in the Rambam. Should it say Shloishim Yoim? That's typically what the Rambam writes. He writes in Hilchos Ritzeach, Shloishim Yoim, 30 days. The other girsa, if you look in the Franco Rambam, in his collection of different girsos of the Rambam, is just shloishim, which is odd. Uben shmeina shemes afilu la'achar shloishim. There's no avil. You would have thought the Rambam should have said shloishim yoim. Okay, interesting ha'ara. So the Chazon Ish says, based on that other girsa, which the Franco Rambam adopts as a more authentic girsa, without the word yoim, that perhaps what the Rambam really wrote is la'achar lamed, apostrophe. And the printer thought that meant shloishim. But says Chazon Ish not what it meant. What it meant was ben shmeina shemes, afilu la'achar lamed leida, even if it's not a stillborn that's born already, mace, there's no avelus for stillborns, even if it was alive. But it passed away after Leda, also no Avelus. Nothing to do with how long it stayed alive. Maybe if it stayed alive for 30 days, there would be Avelus. But the Rambam meant is La'achar Leda, not that it's a stillborn. So the Chazon Ish says, he thinks we pass on Shimon Gamliel, that if the baby remains alive for 30 days, then there would be Avelus. So This is an issue. It doesn't come up often with regards to Pikuach Nefesh, because Pikuach Nefesh, we said, we're going to be... but one other issue. This we have to bring up as well. One other issue the Chazon Ish brings up, which is that this is working within the assumptions of Chazal. And that is that a Ben Ches was not a Bar Kayama. That was the reality of their situation. But in our times, we know, Ben Ches is a Bar Kayama. Already in the days of the Chazon Ish, in the 20th century, the 21st century, more advanced, but in the 20th century, already the Chazon Ish was aware of this changing reality. Now a Ben Ches, Ben Zion certainly, perhaps even Ben Vav is a Bar Kayama. So writes the Chazon Ish over here, Ois Vav, Simekuf Nun Hei, Ois Dal, and Yoradeh, V'chein Mei Iden Ashav Uvdois Rabois, De Bnei Ches, Chayim is Kayamin. They are Bar Kayama. Uchimeduma, says the Chazon Ish, it seems, the Ashav Nishtanu Ateva. The reality has changed. Nowadays, a Ben Ches is a Bar Kayama. And the halacha should change along with the changing reality. Therefore, says the Chazon Ish, even without all of the discussions we just had, but the reality changes. Along the reality changes, and halacha changes and reacts to that changing reality. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, Nishtanu Ateva, so then a Ben Ches should be considered a Bar Kayama. What is his precedent for making that kind of argument, that halacha should change along with the changing reality? So he based it on a comment of the Ramah. The Ramah, over here in Siman Kuf Nun Vav and Sif Dal and Hilchazim Chalitza, is discussing Machlokes in the Gemara, whether or not, the issue was raised before, what is considered to be a full-term birth? Is it once it reaches the first day of the ninth month, or at the conclusion of the ninth month? So Machlokes in the Gemara called Yoledes Letes, Letisha, Yoledes Lemikutayin, can they give birth in the middle of the month, and that be called full-term? Or Yoledes Letisha, Eina Yoledes Lemikutayin. The middle of the month is not called full term. When is the baby called full term? At the end of the month. So writes the Ramah, even though we paskin, Yoledes Letisha, Eina Yoledes Lemikutayin, the middle of the month is not full term. Nonetheless, Yesh Oimrim, the Bizman Azeh, even if the baby only entered into the 9 month one day, Havi Vlad Kayama, it's a viable child, and enjoys what that implies. Even though the Gemara says that a baby that's born in the middle of the month is not full term, says the Ramah in the 1500s. That the reality does not yield this result. It's not borne out in the facts. The babies are staying alive. From the times of Chazal to the times of the Ramah, the matter has changed. And therefore says the Ramah, the halacha reacts and changes along with it. So too says the Chazon Ish, even though in the times of Gemara Ben Ches was a Vaday Nefel, that's not true in our times anymore. Parenthetically, it is surprising that the Chazon Ish would be the one to make this argument. Why? Because the Chazon Ish is outspoken in another area of halacha as rejecting this same line of reasoning. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Skulin that there are 18 things that label an animal a trefa, which means a non-kosher animal. 18 defects in the animal, conditions of the animal that label it a trefa, a non-kosher animal. And a trefa, why? Because it can't live throughout the year. Can't live for 12 months, it's called the trefa. The milk from the animal is trefa, and then, of course, if you shut the animal, it would also be trefa. But the 18 conditions that are listed, defects that are listed by the Gemara, nowadays, in our times, with modern medicine, don't necessarily mean that it's not a death sentence for the animal. It could live past the year. So, are these animals no longer trefas? Is the milk from the animal kosher? Can you shech the animal? Will it be a kosher animal? Can you eat the meat? So the Chazon Ish writes that no. The halacha does not change. These items remain trefis. The milk is treif and the meat is treif. And the Chazon Ish explains in Hilchos Shchita and Siman Hei and Yoradeah that the halacha does not change. Why? Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Avodah Zarah that the world will exist for 6,000 years. 2,000 years are tayhu, confusion. The next 2,000 years are Torah, the age of Torah. And the last 2,000 years will be a Moed HaMashiach, after which the Geula will come. When did those 2,000 years of Torah begin? When Avram Avinu began to teach Torah, roughly corresponds to the year 2000, began to teach Torah v'esan nefesh asher asu b'charon, included within a Kabbalah Satorah, and concluded at the year 4000. Once the year 4000 came, the period of Torah is over. Now it's Yemos Mashiach. Says the Chazon Ish, whatever occurred, Torah developed during those 2,000 years of Torah. Whatever occurs afterwards cannot change what took place during the period of the development of the Torah in the middle of 2,000 years. Whatever takes place afterwards doesn't matter. It doesn't change. Halacha doesn't react to it. Halacha is stuck based on the reality that existed in the year 4000. That's what Chazon Ish understands the implication of that Gemara. So therefore, says the Chazon Ish, even though these trefers, these conditions, don't necessarily mean that the animal will die within a year, it doesn't matter. The halacha does not change based on the different reality. That's surprising. The Chazon Ish, a little bit later, told us over here that with regards to the premature babies, that even though in the time of the Gemara, Ben Ches was not a Bar Kayama, now it is. The halacha reacts to that change. So Chaim Moser has perhaps one explanation in Tshuvas Achiezer why there's a difference, and that is because, what I think is compelling, that is because the Yud Ches Trefus is halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that these 18 things label the animal a trefa. So Chazon Ish is telling us that that remains static from the time of the completion of development of Torah, the year 4000. However, there is no explicit source for the fact that a Ben Ches is not a Bar Kayama. That was just the reality in the times of Chazal. Or the notion that if a child remains alive for 30 days, he's a Bar Kayama. That doesn't exist anywhere. It's true by Pidin HaBen. You have to wait 30 days to do Pidin HaBen. But that's Xeris HaKasim. Even if the child is a Bar Kayama from day one, you have to wait 30 days to do Pidin HaBen. These all things were just extrapolations from other sources trying to figure out how we should treat premature babies. But there is no explicit source for it. So since there is no explicit source for it, we're just extrapolating from other places, so therefore the halacha can react to the change in reality. It's very different than the Yud Ches Trefus that we're given as an explicit halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that perhaps the Chazon Ish feels does not change. Either way, if you want to do it in the more politically correct way, you would do it the way, Diane Weiss writes in the Shuvas Minchas Yitzchak, not that the reality changed, but medicine changed. Refuos changed. Nishtanu ha-refuos, our ability and medicine changed, not that people changed, but the medical advancements changed. And therefore, a Ben Ches, and nowadays in our times, would be considered to be a Bar Kayama. So, what emerges is, if you have a child that is considered to be accepted by the medical community, and now he's a Bar Kayama from the moment that he's born. If he's born 5 weeks early, in our times, he's a Vaday Bar Kayama. 6 weeks early, it's early, but he's a Vaday Bar Kayama. So then, you would certainly be Mechal Shabbos, and be exempt from Yibum and Chalitza, and there would be Avelos, Rachmanis Lanam, if the child would pass away. But if the child would be born so early, where there's a legitimate suffix about whether or not the child is a Bar Kayama or not, whatever early the medical community treats the child as he's in a serious doubt whether or not he's a Bar Kayama or not, a legitimate doubt. So then, if he stays alive for 30 days, at that point he would be considered a Bar Kayama, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and there would be a Velos that is Noeg, and would be exempt from Yibum Chalitza and things like that. Even before then, though, we would already be Mechal Shabbos for the child, because we already said we're Mechal Shabbos for an Ubar. So if Mechal Shabbos for an Ubar, so even if it's a Safik Ben Ches, Safik Ben Tes, the Bi'ur Lacha said, we should already be Mechal Shabbos. It's no worse than the fetus. We don't know when he's going to be born. Mechal Shabbos, so too we Mechal Shabbos for this child already born, even if he's a Safik Bar Kayam, we'd be Mechal Shabbos. But with regards to the other issues, we'd have to wait for 30 days, yeah.
Is the next child the Bechor in terms of being like a Pidin?
No, a woman has a Nepho also, not exempt from being Bechor. No Pidin of him. When do you start counting the 30 days from? We start counting the 30 days from the day that the child is born. If he's a real Safek, Bar Kayama or not, based on medical assessment now, when do you start counting? Presumably you start counting from when? From when the child is born. So Shlomo Zalman has a fantastic chiddush here. That let's say the child is put into an incubator, which is standard practice for premature babies, because oftentimes they can't control their own body temperature, which is something the body learns to do throughout its development. So children are born so early, they can't control their own body temperature, so that's usually provided by the mother. But here, in this case, the child was born early, so they put him into a controlled environment, in the incubator. So Shlomo Zalman felt that the incubator was kind of like a hemshech of the womb of the mother. He compares it to the Gemara Maseches Bechiras, that the Gemara says, Gemara's Masechta Skulin and Daf Ayin, that they put two animals, the Rechamim, the wombs of two animals next to one another, and the animal gave birth to a baby, and went straight into the womb of another animal. So the Gemara assumes that that child is not called born yet. With regards to halachas of Bechor Behema, that child is not called born yet, went into another Rechem. From one Rechem to another Rechem. So too, Shlomo Zalman assumes if the baby is put, you know, pretty quickly into an incubator, that's like a merechem lerechem, and the child is not considered born yet. So when do you start counting the 30 days, says of Shlomo Zalman, from when he leaves the incubator? That's when you start counting 30 days. So if he passes away before then, even if he stayed alive for 30 days, in the incubator would be no avelos. But even more than that, Shlomo Zalman claims, when do you start counting 30 days for Pidyon HaBen if he's a firstborn? From the day that the child leaves the incubator. That's when you start counting 30 days for Pidyon HaBen. Interesting chiddush of Shlomo Zalman. I'll get to the question in 1 second. Rabbi Yashiv disagrees. You look over here in the Sefer Torah HaYogad, that's from Rabbi Zilberstein, who is Rabbi Yashiv's son-in-law, is Rabbi Yashiv's son-in-law. So he writes, V'shamanu me'agrish al Yashiv, that the incubator is no different than any other medical intervention. It's no different than an IV. This is not considered to be an extension of the womb. And a mechanical womb, you know, this is like any other medical intervention, you start counting the 30 days for Avelos, the 30 days for Pidyon HaBen from the day that the child is born. But the opinion of Shlomo Zalman was you start counting from when the child leaves the incubator. So, with regards to Avelos, some places can treat this as a suffix. Well, how should we treat the incubator? So like Rabbi Vadya writes, if the child passes away, he was alive for 30 days, but part of the time was spent in the incubator, then there would be no avelos. You say, halachic divrei amekel ba'avel, like of Shlomo Zalman, the child is not considered to be a bar kayama yet, and therefore there'd be no, he wasn't alive for 30 days, there would be no avelos. But typically in these types of situations, the parents want to observe avelos. So I wouldn't say halachic divrei amekel ba'avel. And anyway, Rabbi Yashiv holds that you start counting the 30 days for Avelos for Pidyon HaBen from when the child is born. But with regards to Pidyon HaBen, I think it's a mitzvah which you can do late. You can't do early. If you do it later, you're yoytze. If you do it early, you're not yoytze. So I think maybe it's kedai to be machmer for Shlomo Zalman and start counting 30 days for Pidyon HaBen from when the child leaves the incubator. So my first son was born six and a half weeks early. Was in incubator for a little bit, so we did the Pidyon HaBen. We counted the 30 days from when he left the incubator.
Why do we compare people to animals?
Treifus, what do you mean?
Meaning, like, Rav Yashiv's whole opinion is based on the Gemara that
doesn't... Shlomo Zalman's opinion.
Shlomo Zalman's, yeah.
I don't know if it's based on the Gemara. It's just another example of that. He's assuming...
No, I'm saying, because we said earlier...
It's just an example that you see, Rechem to Rechem is not called Leda. You can have a trans.
No, because we said earlier that when medicine changes, it's not the reality.
Right.
So where are we drawing lines? Right?
I don't think he quotes the Gemara. Rabbi Zilberstein quotes the Gemara as a precedent for something. He said it on his own. Yeah.
Well, the baby's in the incubator. Does the baby ever get taken out?
Sure.
Like, I assume to get fed and stuff like
right.
that.
Right.
So.
But he gets put back in.
Like an extension of the womb.
I think it's a very difficult svara. I think it's a difficult svara. But it's an interesting argument. But it's a mitzvah midaraisa, Pidyon HaBen, so why not be chayshish?
If you assume the child can live outside the incubator, then it very much is like the womb. It's a fake womb, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an artificial womb.
They're taken out, they get fed inside the womb. Inside
a lot of times they're fed in the incubator, but sometimes they do get taken out. Yeah, yeah.
What about if the baby born after a full 9 months, but it's immediately has to be put in the incubator, so we can count 30 days after?
I don't think so. I don't think so. If he's had it past 9 months. One or two other issues that often come up with regards to premature babies that are relevant in general for other issues, and that is that the Gemara Shulchan Aruch tells us oftentimes when you have a premature baby, so the doctors would like the mother to pump, to bring her breast milk to the hospital to feed to the baby. They often ask the mother to do that. So the issue with that is that the Shulchan Aruch tells us over here in Shin Chav Ches Sif Lamed Daled that for a woman to express milk into a cup or to pump milk into a cup or into a bottle is a melacha midoraisa on Shabbos of mefarik, which is a toldo of dash, a derivative of dash. Just like you're not allowed to take a kernel of grain out of the husk, to extract the kernel of grain from the husk. So too, you're not allowed to extract the liquid from a solid, water from a towel. Schita is a told of dash. And so too, to milk a cow on Shabbos is a told of dash. A melacha midairaisa. So for a woman to express milk into a cup would be a melacha midairaisa on Shabbos. If the baby nurses from the mother, so then that's considered to be kalacha yad. Why, even though that's the normal way a mother would express milk, is it sucked directly, you know, the baby nurses directly from her, but generally chaliva is done on animals, and you generally, typically, a cow is milked into a container. So then they take precedence. That's called the normal way, and a baby nursing directly from the mother is called by the Gemara Subis and Dafsamach, that's called kelachar yad. Typical ways into a cup. So for a mother to nurse, to express milk into a cup would be a malacha midday raisa. So therefore, writes the bir halacha ein prima gadam the lachla may other malachayich kli yesh by isa midday raisa mishum mafarek va'asa b'shvil chayla shein by sakana. You're not allowed to do it for a child who's not in sakana. However, most of these premature babies are in what's known as the NICU, which is the neonatal intensive care unit. And my opinion is that you don't need any further proof. If you're in an intensive care unit, the insurance is paying money for you to be there. You must be a chayla sheyesh bo sakana. Otherwise, it would not pay for you to be there. So it's expensive to be there. So the baby is, if it's in an intensive care unit, in which case is a besafik sakana. So the mother would be allowed to express milk or to pump milk with an electric pump. There's no difference. They work much better. So that's an Issa Durabana on the electricity. So she could turn it on with her foot to put on a Shabbos clock. I said, Nachri, to turn it on, noch besser, even better. But she could turn it on herself for the Safik Sakana that she's going to bring the milk to the child. What about, though, this is a very, very common question, what about a woman, though, who's breastfeeding and the child, a regular child, not a premature baby? But the child is done nursing and she has more milk, you know, it's building up. She would like to express it into, use a pump, to put it into a bottle and freeze it, save it for the child for later, for another time. So it's mutter for a mother who's bringing the milk to a premature baby who's sick, you know, is not well or not developed in the hospital, safek sakana. What about the regular mother? The regular Baruch Hashem healthy baby. So the Gemara tells us over here, Mesechtas Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yudal Amud Aleph, Stam Tinoik Mesukanei Tzochalav. A regular tinoik is considered to be mesukanei tzochalav, and if he doesn't get, if he can't have for milk from a Jewish woman, then you're allowed to even give him milk from a non-Jewish woman, a non-Jewish nursemaid. Because if he doesn't get milk, he's going to be besafek sakana. So Rashi explains, what does this mean? Shemo yinok yimois betzama. If he's not going to get milk, he's going to die of thirst. Okay. So writes at Tzipesach Frank, what about in our time? You have, what do we have? We have formula. Give the baby formula. So writes the Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, something in the name of a Gadol Echad, which I must tell you is a recurring, in our times as well, in my opinion, misconception. I've heard this from Rabbanim, but in my opinion it's a mistake. Umasha Omer, Kavoidoi, B'Shem Gadol Echad. He heard in the name of one Gadol, that when it comes to milk and babies, everybody's B'Sakana. There's no, all things surim can be mutter on Shabbos. He says, that which you heard in the name of a gadol, that stam tinok mesukan away to chalav, he says is wrong. When he says, Uanias died, he says to Tzipesa Frank, Zesha Amru Gemara, stam tinok mesukan away to chalav, ain hakavana, does not mean, she'ez ochav atinok tamedinok kachal she'ez besakana. When it comes to milk and babies, they're all besakana. That's not what it means. Ugabi chaylev achilas tinok, kuchu koisum kamo lachal she'ez besakana. Doesn't mean every child is a chaylish yesh bo sakana in life-threatening situation. Chas v'shalom. Kavana hi lebechina shal sakanas chayser mazim. What it means is there was no food for the child to eat. Lemosh estam tinok yinik tzachalav hum ezayin v'chiyus. So all they eat is this. So if he's not going to have it, u'bemakom shei meinekes yisraelos u'mo'inek meinekes kusis, he's not going to have from an non-Jewish nursemaid, yishar b'lo'anak l'gamrei. He's going to have nothing else to eat. That's what it means. Not does not mean whenever it comes to milk and babies, always surim or mutter. So if you have a regular, healthy mother, a healthy baby, a mother wants to express milk or to pump milk into a bottle, be a malacha d'oraisa. The baby has other things to eat. So it's true, this is all based on Rashi. Rashi says if he doesn't get the milk, the baby's going to die. So the Chazon Ish disagrees with Rashi.
Okay.
Chazon Ish asks on Rashi. Look over here in the third line of the Chazanish. Get to the question in a second. Chazanish writes in the brackets, "V'Rashi Perish Sheyimus B'Tzama Tzarachiyun." Really? Says the Chazanish, he's going to die of thirst. If that's the case, says the Chazanish, then what are we only being allowing a non-Jewish nursemaid? We could have allowed all the Velas and Trefus. Allow him to eat anything. He's Bisakana, he has no food. Give him anything. Everything should be mutter. Cheeseburgers. Yeah. Why not? So I would have said, my name is Daiti, to defend Rashi, that babies don't eat cheeseburgers. They don't eat Nevelis and Trefus. The only things babies eat is milk. That's why Rashi said, if he doesn't have a Jewish nursemaid or a Jewish mother, give him the non-Jewish, because there is no other option. They don't need other things. So I don't know why the Kasha of the Chazanish is so strong. The Chazanish concludes that we're not talking about in a case where there's no other food. There is other food. What it means is there's no other milk. And babies need milk. Or mother's milk. Or substitutes. The Chisar and Chalav Sakana Hulai says on the second line, Shiyavu de Chayli v'chol Chayli hu Safek Sakana. If he doesn't have milk, it's a Safek Sakana. But nowadays, we have milk. You have formula. You have formula. Or even if this mother has other milk in the freezer, she can give to the baby on Shabbos. Just it's very hard, psychologically, it's very hard for the mothers to pump milk and throw it out. Very hard for them. So I've been on the receiving end of many phone calls. Very difficult. But Lamaisa is, there's no head to her to pump milk on Shabbos into a bottle to give to a healthy baby. Why? Because there's other substitutes. If the baby only eats the mother's milk, and there's nothing in the freezer, and it will never take formula, and the baby would rather dehydrate rather than drink something else, so then fine, okay, you box me into a corner. What else are you going to say? The baby's going to dehydrate. But under normal circumstances where they give the baby formula sometimes, so she has milk in the refrigerator, there's no heter for a woman to pump milk. The only heter is if the baby's in the hospital, is a premature baby, so then it can be allowed, yeah.
Squeezing it into some other substance and then give that to the baby?
Sure.
So why do people do that in terms of pumping?
That they're not going to be happy with that.
Can it be like even just a small amount of food and then a majority of milk? That's not it.
Yeah.
Why is the baby not allowed to just breastfeed off?
If the baby eats food, then there's certainly no heter for this. Yeah.
Did I miss why the baby can't just breastfeed directly to the mother?
No. Oftentimes babies get tired and the mother has more. As you know, as the saying goes, more than the child wants to suckle, the mother wants to nurse. So there's more there. And the woman's uncomfortable. She has to relieve the pressure. She has to take the milk out. She has to throw it out. So you try telling a mother she has to throw out her milk. But the truth of the matter is that there's no heter for it. She has to throw it out. Or she could, in my opinion, if there's milk in the freezer, the healthy baby, and the baby could eat formula, baby's not going to dehydrate otherwise. Well, I don't see the heter.
It's like
it's a malacha deiraisa. It's only for a baby who's not well. Why is it mutado for a baby who's not well? Why can't we just give the baby in the hospital, give him formula? So Shmir Shabbos Kochasa writes over here, Parak Lam Avav Sifchof Aleph, that if you have a child who doesn't know how to nurse, that's something that the baby develops later on. Some babies are born, most premature babies at the beginning, if they're very premature, don't know how to nurse. So you have a premature baby, doesn't know how to suckle. They have to feed it with a tube through its nose. So if he doesn't know how to nurse, or the baby's in the hospital, the mother's not there all the time. So then Shmir Shabbos Kochasa says she can express the milk into a cup on Shabbos and bring it to the baby. Why? So the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa says, Ki arei hatinok ola l'stakein, he might be life in danger, im yashku chalav acher. You're going to give him someone else's milk, he's going to be in sakana. Why is he going to be in sakana? You give him the formula. So the reason is because the doctors explain that there is some benefits to mother's milk. This is a big political issue. There's political undertones, and you know, there's so many different sides of this issue of breastfeeding. Yes, no, activism. I mean, for other motives and other agendas. But the doctors all recommend that there is some benefit to it. There's antibodies in the mother's milk that help prevent infection. Now, that cannot be that significant. If it would be that significant, the mortality rates for breastfed babies would be different than the mortality rates for formula-fed babies. And there are those who claim that they are different mortality rates, but we cannot possibly accept that entirely. If we did, we would mandate that all women breastfeed, because otherwise you're endangering the life of your baby. There are those vigilant, you know, extremists who say that. But that's not the standard approach of doctors. So until we're ready to enforce that all women must breastfeed their babies because the life of the baby is in danger, it can't be. It's that significant, but it's minor. There is a minor benefit to the mother's milk over formula. And since this child is already in sakana, the child's already life is in danger, we're going to allow it on Shabbos. Even though it's only minimal benefit, we can allow it. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch tells us over here, Shin Chav Ches Siv Dalid, that when you're dealing with a chayla sheyesh bar sakana on Shabbos, a person whose life is in danger, we do whatever we would do during the week, we do on Shabbos too. That's a quotation from the Ramban. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he writes, "Umashma aval pisha ein bo sakana b'minias hadavar hahu." Let's say the chayla asks you, "Can you move my bed? It's electric. Can you turn out the light for me?" You can do that. Kevan shachayla yesh bo sakana, since he's in a life-threatening situation. V'yesh b'adavar tzarek sas. He wants this thing. It's ancillary care. It's not really going to heal him. There are not mortality rates whether the lights are on or the lights are off. That's not, you know, part of his therapy, medical procedure. But that's what we would do for him during the week. So we do for him on Shabbos whatever we do during the week, even though it doesn't relate directly to his sakonis. Why? So Avnei Nezer explains in the Tshuva, because since his life is already hanging in the balance, he's in a precarious situation, one thing or another might tip the scales in one direction or the other. Even though this item itself is not, you know, fundamental to his medical care, but we don't want to tip the scales either direction. So to over here, there is some, we assume, minimal advantage to the breast milk. So since there is some minimal advantage, you can do it for a child who's already b'sakana. Shar tzarochav, you know, the ancillary care. But to do it for a regular baby, I don't think that there's any answer. One final issue, two more seconds, is with regards to naming the baby. When do we normally name a baby? At the time of a bris. Why do we name a baby at the time of the bris? Because Avram Avinu got his name changed at the time of his bris from Avram to Avraham. So therefore, the Sefer Matan Moshe writes, that's the source for our minig, that we give the baby a name at the time of the bris, just like Avram Avinu got his name at the time of the bris. But what if a bris, you have a baby who's premature, the bris is going to be pushed off? Shulchan Aruch writes over here in some Reish Samech Beis Siv Beis in Hilchos Mila, if the child has a sakonis nefashis, you have to push off the bris 7 days from the day that it becomes healed. And if it was just a regular sakana, regular chayli, he wasn't in any danger, you have to wait till the child gets better. We don't do a meal on the child when he's not well. So a premature baby, you have to wait for the baby to return to his health. He has to be proper weight and all this and that. You push off a bris. So when should we give the baby a name? Should we wait till the bris? It could be weeks, months later. So surprisingly, the Nishmas Avram, Dr. Abraham, quotes in the name of Rabbi Zilberstein, and there's a medical journal called Asya, which I don't know if it's still in print or not, but quotes in the name of many tzaddikim, many gedolim, Sa'me Rebbe, Rav Moshe, Rav Shach, Haskel Levenstein, that you should give the baby a name right away if it's going to be pushed off significantly. Why? For two reasons. First reason is because the nursing staff doesn't take good care of the babies if they don't have a name. That was their observation. Why? Because they say, look, the parents don't care enough about this baby. They gave up hope. They haven't even bothered to give the baby a name. We should take care of the baby. So they don't bother taking care of the baby. That was one reason. So psychologically, but also for the mother to build an attachment to the baby. Psychologically, they felt it was healthy, but also because if the baby is really the sakana, you want to daven for the baby. So in order to daven for somebody else, the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, you don't need to mention their name. As the Pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Miriam, he davened for Kel Na Rifa Na La, that should be healed from Tzaras. He didn't mention her name. The Gemara says, you see, from here, you don't have to mention their name. But the Zayar writes in, Zayar Kodesh writes in Parshat Vayishlach, when Yaakov Avinu is preparing for his encounter with Esav, he says, Hatzileini Na Miad Ochi Miad Esav. Save me from my brother, from Esav. So you see, you have to say Baruch Bitcha Katana, you have to specify exactly what you mean in your tefillah, you have to mention the name of the chayla. That's why we mentioned in the past, the Zayar HaKadosh says you use the name of the mother when davening for a chayla. Why the name of the mother? Because we're sure the mother is the mother. The father, the Gemara says, Masech L'Schulin is Rav B'Ila Sachar Abal. We hope the father is the father. But the mother, we're certain, is the mother. So therefore, in order, so writes of Gedalia Felder, this is the Zayar HaKadosh L'Shitasai. You have to specify in your tefillos exactly. So when we're davening for a chayla, we use the name of the mother. So which is it? Do you have to use the name of the chayla or not? So the Magen Avraham quotes the name of the Maharil, that if you're standing next to the chayla, Moshe Rabbeinu was standing next to Miriam, you don't have to say the name of the chayla, he was standing right next to her. In fact, it's preferable not to, because sometimes a chayla is caused by your name. The gzeira, ro, could be caused by your name. That's why we change the name of the chayla sometimes. But if you're not standing next to the chayla, you have to use the name. You have to use the name. You have to say the name. That's Hatzireni Nami Yad Ochim Yad Esav. So, because of that, these tzaddikim, these gedolim, recommended that you give a name in order that you be able to daven for the chayla. The truth of the matter is, common practice is not to give a name, I must be honest, unless you're really davening for the chayla, davening for the baby, typical premature birth, they don't give a name, because nowadays all the hospitals, at least in our area, know that the Jews don't give names. You know, they already write on the thing, Yingala, you know, they know the Jews don't give names. And if it's just to care for the baby, you know, to make sure the nursing staff cares for the baby, you could give an English name, you could give a fake name, a temporary name. So people get away with not giving the name. But if you're seriously davening for the baby, maybe it's advisable to give a name. I'll just tell you, when my first son was born, so again, all my children were premature, but when he was born, I called the Rosh Hashechta to let him know that we had a baby. It was right before Pesach, so he said, oh, it's going to be a Pesach bris. That was when the eighth day should have been. So I told him, no, he was born premature, he's in the NICU. So he told me, you should give him a name. Give him a name now. You know, like a Mishaberach, you would do for a girl to give a name, that's the way you should give a name now. So Reverend Schechter also picked up the phone. So Reverend Schechter said, he said, give a name, otherwise the nurses won't take care of the baby. So Reverend Schechter said, nah, you don't have to. All the nurses know that the Jews don't give names. You don't have to give a name. So Reverend Schechter said back to her, he said, when they ask you the Shilas, you can paskin. He called me to ask me the Shilas. So he said, I'm going to paskin. Anyway, the Maisa, I was thinking about it, but the Hachi Baruch Hashem, things got better, and it was almost out, so we didn't bother. Okay, Shkoyach.